And today has been a banner day in the headlines. Gene Mock has been named manager of the National League team for the All-Star game. Johnny Keene, of course, would have had that privilege if he had stayed at the National League. He had gone over to the American League. Also, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, John Holland, announced that Lou Kline, an infielder in his Major League days, has been named head coach, and Bob Kennedy of the Cubs becomes an assistant in Holland's office. So the Cubs have made one more change. Well, that's the way it looks as we get all set to go in the first game of this series. It's Jim Maloney in the mound for the Reds. He's a hard-throwing right-hander with a good curveball. And pitching against him for the New York Mets, Frank Lurie, a veteran of many seasons of baseball. It's a pleasant evening, slightly cool, but certainly welcome when you come to Cincinnati because it's seldom that you have weather as pleasant as this in this town. Right now, for the play-by-play, as the game gets underway, Bob Murphy.
Okay, Ralph. Hi, everybody. Billy Cowan leading off for the New York Mets against Jim Maloney. Maloney has won 5 and lost 2. In 73 innings, has struck out 62.
The first batter for New York, number 3, the center fielder, Billy Cowan.
Now Billy Cowan stepping in against Jim Maloney. Maloney's second start this year against New York, his first outing against the Mets, he was a winning pitcher in a 9-4 ball game. The tall, hard-throwing right-hander wheels the first pitch, a strike on the inside corner. Chuck Hiller is on deck and then Charlie Smith. Third series of the year between New York and Cincinnati. Curve, a swing and a miss by Billy Cowan, the count strike 2. In New York, the Mets took 3 games out of 4 from Cincinnati. The only time the Mets have been to Cincinnati this year, the Reds swept a 4-game series. So here tonight, the opening of a 3-game series, the third series of the year. He bunts it foul, a strike 3. Billy Cowan caught the third baseman Darren Johnson back. He was trying to catch him flat-footed and bunt for a base hit, but he bunted foul for strike 3. One away and nobody on. The hitter is Chuck Hiller. Yogi Berra on the coaching lines at first. Don Hefner on the lines at third. Pitch to Hiller is whacked foul. Back upstairs, no play. Defensively, the Cincinnati Reds have Gordy Coleman playing first. Pete Rose is at second. Leo Cardenas playing short. And Darren Johnson at third. In the outfield, Tommy Harper in left. Beta Penson in center. Frank Robinson around at right. Fastball inside, 1-1. Johnny Edwards behind the plate with Jim Maloney on the mound. Lifetime against New York, Maloney has won 10 and lost 2. He goes to a breaking ball. It's over at the knees for a call strike. 1-2. The Reds split a doubleheader in Chicago yesterday. They're in third place in the National League, 5 games out. Cincinnati continues to be the best hitting team in Major League Baseball. Now the breaking ball is inside. It's 2-2. The Reds have the highest team batting average in the Major Leagues as a team. They're batting .273. They have scored more runs and hit more home runs than any other Major League team. Now Jim Maloney delivers 2-2 on Hiller, and it's fouled back up into the crowd, out of play. On the year, Maloney has won 5 and lost 2. Sammy Ellis is the top winner on the Cincinnati mound staff. He has won 9 and lost 2. Among the right-handers, Jim Maloney and Joey Jay have each won 5. Ground ball hit right back to the mound, an easy play by Maloney. He throws on to Gordy Coleman, 2 men down.
Number 1, the third baseman, Charlie Smith.
Now coming up is Charlie Smith. Charlie riding a 7-game hit streak, and over the 7-game span, he's hit .357. Charlie had a run-scoring single and a home run, his 7th of the year, in the second game of the doubleheader yesterday afternoon at Shea Stadium. Breaking ball just off the outside corner. 1-0. Now Maloney winds. Down comes his pitch, a swing and a miss. One ball and one strike. You realize just how great the Mets baseball fans have been when you realize that last week alone at Shea Stadium, more Mets fans turned out than fans have turned out to see the Cincinnati Reds all year here at Crosley Field. Here's the 1-1 delivery. He lets up on it. It's high at 2-1. For the season here in Cincinnati, the Reds have played before 246,508. That covers 23 home dates. Now the 2-1 pitch. A strike on the outside corner. It's 2-2. Last week in Shea Stadium, the Mets in six dates attracted 257,890. So they drew about 11,000 more last week than the Reds have drawn so far this year. Jim Maloney delivers 2-2. A high fly ball hit to right center. Going out is Pete Rose. Coming in is the right fielder Frank Robinson. It's Robinson who makes the catch in short right to retire the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. And the score in the middle of the first, the Mets nothing and the Reds coming to bat. And now a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
Which filter cigarette should you be enjoying today? Some brands taste too strong, as if they didn't even have a filter. And some taste too light. You know the kind. They never seem to satisfy your taste. But there is an answer, and here it is.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Not too strong and not too light. The taste that's right.
That's right. Viceroy. The fact is, Viceroy is specifically designed to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the filter for the taste that's right. When you try them, you'll agree. Viceroy's got the taste that's right.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Not too strong and not too light. The taste that's right.
Tommy Harper leads off against Frank Leary in the last half of the first inning. The left fielder batting at 273 with four home runs and 25 runs batted in. Light breeze blowing in from left field tonight. Beautiful day and evening in Cincinnati. Now Leary delivers to Harper a foul ball back into the screen, strike one. The Mets tonight are playing the first of 13 games on this road trip. Three games here in Cincinnati. Thursday, a travel date. They play Friday night and Saturday afternoon in San Francisco. Play a doubleheader Sunday afternoon against the Dodgers in Los Angeles. Now Leary over the head. Down comes his pitch to Harper, and he pops it high into the air, a foul ball. Eddie Crane Boole across the coaching lines, moving over by the crowd, takes it for the out. After the Sunday doubleheader in Los Angeles, the Mets play night games a week from tonight and on Tuesday night in Los Angeles. Then have a travel date going to Houston. Their final stop on the road trip will be in Houston. And the road trip will be over 2 weeks from yesterday for the last game of the trip in the Astrodome, and the Mets then return home 2 weeks from tonight, a twilight night doubleheader against the Braves at Shea Stadium. Switch hitting, Pete Rose takes the pitch over, a strike at the outside corner. Larry's last appearance was in relief against the Giants last Thursday at Shea Stadium. One ball, one strike. Frank did a fine job in 3 2/3 innings. He allowed no runs, gave up no hits. This is the fourth game this year that Larry has started. He started a game against the Astros, started and beat the Philadelphia Phillies, started and lost to Pittsburgh. The 1-1 delivery off the outside corner, 2-1. Warren Spahn pitches tomorrow night in the second of this three-game series. Now Larry over the head a second time. Down comes the pitch. Foul. He hit him off the fist with a good jam hummer. And the count is 2-2. Warren Spahn's mound opponent tomorrow night will be the winningest pitcher on the Cincinnati staff, Sammy Ellis. Ellis has won 9 and lost only 2. 2-2 delivery. He held up just in time. It was low, 3-2 on Pete Rose. Rose hitting .299 with 3 home runs and 17 runs batted in. Now the 3-2 pitch. Ball 4, it's inside, and Rose draws a walk. Anytime he draws a walk, he runs down to first base.
The center fielder, Veda Benson.
Veda Benson hitting third in the order. Veda having a good year. He's batting at .319. 9 home runs and 36 runs batted in. Now Larry off the stretch delivers to Benson a line drive caught by the second baseman Hiller. He throws to Crane Bull, double play, and the side is out. So Benson lines into a double play. He hit the ball hard. Pete Rose is caught off first base.
A reminder, if you make a clean catch of a
no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. At the end of one inning, the score, the Mets nothing and the Cincinnati Reds nothing. Let's open their next home stand against the Milwaukee Braves with the first Twilight Night doubleheader of the season at Shea Stadium. The Braves in second place in the National League on the heavy hitting of Joe Torre, Henry Aaron, Eddie Matthews, Mac Jones, Dennis Menke, Gene Oliver. Like Cincinnati, the Braves have a real solid hitting ball club. Whether their pitching can match that of the Reds over the full season remains to be seen. Bobby Bregan, the Milwaukee manager, feels that it will. And despite the fact that it's a lame duck year for the Braves, they consider themselves as strong pennant contenders. While the Mets are away, tickets for the Milwaukee doubleheader on June 28th at Shea Stadium will be on sale 7 days a week at Shea Stadium. The advanced sale window at Shea is located at Entrance D. And in Midtown Manhattan, for your convenience, 6 days a week, east side and west side, all around the town, the Mets have tickets on sale. In the Long Island Railroad waiting room at Penn Station, at Grand Central Terminal, the ticket window is located at the foot of the 42nd Street and Vanderbilt Avenue ramp. For those of you who live on Long Island in the area of the Nassau-Suffolk County line, the Mets have a ticket window during the regular store hours at Macy's in Huntington. Remember, too, reservations can be made for box and reserve seats at all Howard Close stores in the greater New York area. Eddie Crane Bull coming up against Jim Maloney in the second. Takes inside and low, ball one. Eddie batting .320. Now the off-speed pitch by Maloney is high, 2 balls and no strikes. Mets tonight hoping to snap their longest losing streak of the year. Losing streak began in Pittsburgh after they stopped a 12-game win streak for the Pirates. Ball three, it's inside and low, 3 balls and no strikes. Mets have now lost 10 straight. The Pirates, by the way, have won 20 of their last 23 ball games. In their last 23, they've lost 2 to the Mets and 1 to the Giants. Now the 3-0 pitch. And it gets the outside corner for a strike, 3-1 on Eddie Crane Bull. Pittsburgh tonight has moved out on the road after a very successful homestand. 3-1 delivery. Inside and high, it's ball four. Eddie Crane Bull goes down to first on the walk from Jim Maloney. That brings up right fielder Johnny Lewis. Johnny hitting .250. Pittsburgh playing tonight in St. Louis. It'll be Bob Veal against Steve Carlton. And Bob Bailey leading off the game for the Bucks hit a home run off Carlton. The end of one inning, Pittsburgh 1, St. Louis nothing. Pitch to Johnny Lewis. He started to go and then he held up. It was high. 1 ball and no strikes. The Astros are opening a long homestand tonight in Houston. Facing Chicago, the Cubs have Larry Jackson on the mound. Bob Bruce pitching for the Astros. Outside and high, 2 balls and no strikes. The Phillies, the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Giants have this Monday off. The Yankees wound up their road trip in Cleveland with a 6 p.m. game this evening. The Indians beating the Yankees 5-4 with two runs in the last of the eighth inning. Don McMahon, the winner in relief, and Pete Mickelson, the loser in relief. Fastball, a strike on the inside corner, 2-1. And some rain in the east. The Orioles and the Red Sox rained out in Boston. Yankees open their homestand in Yankee Stadium tomorrow night. Swing and a miss by Johnny. He started to go and tried to hold up on the swing. But umpire Mel Steiner says he went through and the count is even 2-2. Gordy Coleman holding against Eddie Cranepool at first. Now the ball is lobbed over to first by Jim Maloney. Ron Swoboda waiting on deck. 2-2 delivery. Low and inside, ball three. Last time the Mets played in this ballpark, Crosley Field in Cincinnati, Ron put on a pretty good display of power hitting. That was the series, the opening game of the series, in which he had the disputed Grand Slam. 3-2 delivery. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Maloney fans Lewis on a 3-2 fastball.
Number 14, the left fielder, Ron Swoboda.
Second strikeout for Jim Maloney. It brings up Ron Swoboda.
On the 3-2 pitch, manager Casey Stengel didn't have the runner going. He stayed at first base, and the reason for that is that Johnny Lewis leads the club in strikeouts with 36. That's strikeout number 37 for him.
Now Maloney up in pitching position, delivers to Swoboda, and the breaking ball is outside, ball one. Two of the 13 home runs hit by Ron this year have been against Cincinnati, and both have been off right-hander Sammy Ellis, who pitches tomorrow night. So Ron has hit home runs off of some top talent around the National League. A swing and a miss on a fastball, one ball and one strike. Johnny Lewis got off to a marvelous start this year, but the last 3 weeks, Johnny has been mired in a deep batting slump. He has taken a lot of extra batting practice and has been working hard trying to find his way out of it. Johnny has a lot of talent. 1-1 delivery, a swing and a miss on a breaking ball, one ball and two strikes. Ron hitting at 270, the doubleheader yesterday, a good one for him. He belted his 13th home run of the year. Willie McCovey is second in the National League, stretched his 14th yesterday. A slow bounding ball hit down to third base, charged by the third baseman Johnson. The throw to first is in time for the out as Cranepool moves on to second.
Number 11,
now the hitter is Roy McMillan. He is really an old Oriole. Mac had a thumb jammed on a base-stealing play involving Maury Wills in yesterday's doubleheader, and it was questionable as to whether he would be able to play tonight. He has the thumb tape, but after working out, he told Casey that he wanted to be in the lineup. Mac has started every ball game the Mets have played. They're playing their 60th game officially. They've had one tie game in Chicago. Down in the dirt, handled by Johnny Edwards. One ball and no strikes. For 9 years, this ballpark was the home ballpark for Roy McMillan, as he established himself as one of the best shortstops defensively the game has ever had. It's over the knees for a strike, one ball and one strike. For many years, the double play combination of Johnny Temple and Roy McMillan here in Cincinnati was one of the best of the major leagues. Now the 1-1 delivery, fastball, a strike on the outside corner, 1-2. Both are Texans. Johnny Temple lives in Houston. Roy McMillan's home is Bonham, Texas. Cranepool leading off second. The pitch is over. Strike three call. Mac is called out. No runs, no hits, no errors. One left. At the end of an inning and a half, it's the New York Mets nothing and the Cincinnati Reds nothing. Right fielder Frank Robinson, the Cincinnati cleanup hitter, leading off against Frank Lehre in the last of the second. Robbie, a lifetime 300 hitter, is batting at 299 this year. 39 runs batted in. Here's the pitch on the way, a swing and a miss, strike one. Robinson is now eighth in the all-time home run derby among the active players. A quibbler hits slowly back toward the mound. Lehre picks it up, throws to Cranepool, and Robinson is an easy out. Right here we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
HL on your dial, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around. The voice of the Mets in the great Northeast.
Bob Murphy with Ralph Kiner and Lindsey Nelson were in the last half of the second in Cincinnati. No score. Gordy Coleman is the batter, and the breaking pitch is down in the dirt, ball one. Gordy leads the National League in batting. Coleman hitting .354. He has knocked 27 runs in. He has been platooning with rookie Tony Perez. Perez has driven 19 runs in. So that first base position has given the Cincinnati Reds some 46 runs batted in. Inside, he has to lean away. Two balls and no strikes. Cincinnati will follow Milwaukee into Shea Stadium on the next homestand, starting with the Milwaukee doubleheader on June 28th. 2-0 delivery by Lehre, and he goes behind him 3-0 as the fastball misses outside. World champion St. Louis Cardinals will be in Shea Stadium over July 4th. For the holiday doubleheader on Monday the 5th, the Cubs are in town, then the Houston Astros. And it's in for a strike, 3-1. Darren Johnson on deck, and then Johnny Edwards. Larry's 3-1 pitch, a swing and a miss, and he really had a lot of stuff on that one, in close on the hitter. Now 3-2 on Gordy Coleman. Two delivery. Hip down the first baseline, fielded by Eddie Cranepool. He'll take this one himself. Retiring Gordy Coleman, two men down. Now two outs and nobody on. That brings up Darren Johnson. Darren hitting .270. It leads the Reds in runs batted in with 41. He shares the home run lead with Frank Robinson. Strong right-hand batter. High fly to right field. Johnny Lewis scoots in. He's there. Draws a beat on it and makes the catch for the out. So Lehre retires Cincinnati 1-2-3 in the second. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. At the end of two, the Mets nothing and the Reds nothing. And let's check with Ralph.
Well, to add a bit more to what Bob has been telling you about the Mets returning home on June the 28th, they'll be playing the twilight doubleheader with Milwaukee on that date. And it will also be Variety Club night. Yogi Berra, as honorary chairman, will kick off the drive to establish a Variety Children's Heart Hospital at the New York Medical College. It's all fine cause, and Yogi will be the honorary chairman of it. Now we're going to the top of the third, and here to take you into the play-by-play, Lindsey Nelson.
Thank you very much, Ralph, and hello, everybody. Speaking of events and people, two players, both from Baltimore and both drafted by Auburn in last week's draft, have been signed by the Mets organization. Gerald Bark, a left-handed pitcher from the University of Maryland, will report to Auburn immediately, while Lewis Williams, a right-handed hitting catcher, will report to the Mets Marion Virginia Farm Club in the Appalachian Rookie League. Chris Canizaro is up to lead off for the Mets, and Jim Maloney deals a pitch, fired in for a call, strike one. Canizaro up for the first time in this ballgame, batting .188. And again, the right-hander deals, and again it's in there for a call, strike two. Jim Maloney, one of the hardest throwers in this game of baseball. The New York Mets have been facing the top pitchers in the game of late. Meeting Juan Marichal, Don Drysdale, Sandy Koufax in order. Here's the two-strike delivery. Breaking ball, it missed low and away, and it's one and two now to Canizero. Frank Larry in the on-deck circle. First game of a three-game series between the Mets and the Cincinnati Reds. Here is the 1-2 pitch. And it's low for a ball, 2-2. This game opens up a homestand for the Reds. They were on the road also and returned last night, opening up their homestand here against the Mets. And now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed, struck him out with a fastball, and it's strikeout number four for Jim Maloney.
Number seven, the pitcher.
And here comes Frank Larry. Been up 10 times and had 2 hits, so Frank is batting 200 for the season. Maloney's won 5 games, and he's lost 2 so far for the Cincinnati Reds. That's a fastball in there for a called strike. Reared back and fired. At third base, Darren Johnson is even with the edge of the grass on the right-hand batter. Here's the strike one delivery. And it's low for ball.
Lindsay, I don't know whether it's because we're up here so high looking down in that field, but isn't that left fielder playing a very deep shortstop and that center fielder playing a very deep second base?
Gee, it looks just about like that. They are nowhere near the incline. They are way, way in with the right-hand batter, Frank Larry, up there. Here's a swing and a miss. 1-2. Tom Harper in left is halfway from the base of the incline into the edge of the grass. And Beta Fenton is way in, back of second base. Now the 1-2 delivery. Swung on and missed, and it's strikeout number five for Jim Maloney. He fires that ball in a hurry. When you pull the tab on the new Rheingold Extra Dry Chug-A-Mug, the top comes off with a hiss that sounds like the good Rheingold flavor inside. 6 12-ounce mugs to the carton. Look for the special Chug-A-Mug display in your area. Leadoff man Billy Cowan up now for the Mets. He's been up one time. Was a strikeout victim when he tried to bunt a third strike. The pitch breaks low for ball one. Two away, nobody on base in the top half of the third. No score in this game. Here is the 1-0 delivery. Swung on, in on the ground foul. Back at third, fielded by Don Hefner on the coaching lines at third. 1-1 the count now to Billy Cowan. There are a lot of people who follow National League Baseball around who feel that the Cincinnati Reds have more of everything than any other team in the league. They have had a little trouble getting it all together, and the pitching staff has not come on with the effectiveness that it was believed to have. And one of the big disappointments has been the showing of Jim O'Toole, although the Reds figure he's about ready to come around. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled off to the left side, out of play. It's 1-2. As you know, the trading deadline is midnight tomorrow night. Manager Dick Sisler says that Cincinnati Reds have been looking around trying to make a trade of some kind, and he says their greatest need is a good right-hander they can put out there in the bullpen. Here's the 1-2 pitch, and it's high for a ball. It's 2-2.
I know how they can solve that problem very easily, Lindsay.
How's that, Rob?
Just move Sammy Ellis back out to that bullpen.
That's one way. They've moved Jerry Arrigo out there, by the way, speaking of moving starters. It's 2-2 pitch. And it's a breaking ball in for a called strike. He caught Cowan looking not with the fastball, but with the breaking ball. And it's strikeout number six as Maloney strikes out the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. Score at the end of 2.5 innings is the Mets nothing and the Reds nothing. And here's a bit of advice about your car that may come in handy.
A driving tip from Shell. How safe are your brakes? Why not test them right now while you're driving? You can in this easy on-the-spot road test, courtesy of your local Shell dealer.
First, make sure you've got a clear road with nobody behind you. Repeat, nobody behind you. Drive at a good clip and apply your brakes with a nice, firm pressure. Car come to an even stop. Brake pedal feels solid, not soft and mushy. Congratulations. Those brakes sound pretty good. But if your car pulled sharply to one side, or if your brakes chattered and complained while you were stopping, take no chances.
Pull into your nearest Shell dealer. He can help you, whether you need a simple adjustment or new linings. He can also help you get good mileage with Super Shell gasoline. Super Shell with Platformate is specially blended by mileage experts. Super Shell in the clean white pump.
Going now to the bottom half of the third inning, and catcher Johnny Edwards is up for the Cincinnati Reds. Hitting .270, 8 home runs and 22 runs batted in. He's a left-hand batter with an overly closed stance at the plate. Frank Larry dips into the windup, and here's the pitch. Low for a ball. The National League at the end of two innings. The Pirates 1 and the Cardinals nothing. Bob Beal against Steve Carlin. Bob Bailey homing in the first with nobody on for the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Cubs are at Houston in the Astrodome, and the warm-up Larry Jackson against Bob Booth. Those are the only two games scheduled tonight in the National League. That pitch is high and away. 2-0 and out of Johnny Edwards. Not scheduled, the Philadelphia Phillies, the Milwaukee Braves, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the San Francisco Giants. The American League and an early starter. Cleveland defeated the New York Yankees 5-4. Did a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. It's 2-1. For the Yankees, it was Stafford, Mickelson, Hamilton, Renner. For Cleveland, Terry, Weaver, McMahon. McMahon the winner and Mickelson the loser. Max Alves homered in the fourth with nobody on for Cleveland. Baltimore at Boston postponed because of rain, and those were the only games scheduled in the American League.
Pitch is inside for a ball. It's 3-1 now to Johnny Edwards. Larry has struck out none and walked one. He walked Pete Rose in the first inning and Rose was double when Beta Benson lined to second. One delivery. Swung on and hit on the ground, through into center field for a base hit. Returned by Billy Cowan, and that is the first hit.
For the Cincinnati Reds off Frank Larry. First hit in the ball game gives the Reds a runner at first, a leadoff base hit, and Leo Cardenas, the shortstop, coming up, hitting .266 with two homers and 19 runs batted in. Cardenas is a right hand batter. Edwards leads at first base, and the pitch. In there for a call strike to the Cincinnati shortstop. Frank Osiak on the coaching lines at first. Reggie Otero is the coach at third. Larry sets and pitches, and it's bunted down the third base line. Charlie Smith up, throws on, and in time. Moving to second is Johnny Edwards, a sacrifice that goes 5-3 if you're scoring.
Pitcher Jim Maloney.
Pitcher Jim Maloney's coming up with 1 minute out and a runner at second. Maloney's been up 24 times and had 5 hits. He's had 1 double and 1 run batted in. He's hitting .208. Left hand batter. Picked up the mask and looks around, so he's waiting for Canizaro to come back. He's been out to the mound to talk to Larry. Lots of traffic on the superhighway that runs just behind the center field fence here. Now Larry checks the runner at second. And the pitch. Inside low for a ball. The fact of that traffic out there made it necessary to construct the second wall in center field here. Because they discovered that with the wall that was there originally, the batters were bothered by the headlights going by. Here's the 1-0 pitch, and it swung on and missed, 1-1. And then when they put the second wall up, it created another vision problem because the umpires, admittedly, have had difficulty in telling just where the ball hits out there because there is a yellow line at the top of the original wall, and anything over that is a home run. Larry steps off the rubber. Bluff does not throw. Johnny Edwards is the runner at second base. Larry's 1-1 pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground, foul. Back at first base. It's out of play. 1-2 to Maloney at the plate with Tom Harper in the on-deck circle. And manager Dick Sessler's discussion about his needs and his wish for a right-hander in the bullpen. The implication was that he does not have too much confidence in Jim Duffalo and Roger Craig, who are the right-handers he has in the bullpen. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. And Larry gets his first strikeout. Striking out pitcher Jim Maloney. Two away. Edwards holds at second. No score in this game. Tommy Harper coming up. He's been up one time and he fouled out to first base. You can bet that there are a lot of major league clubs in touch with each other these days and on up to midnight tomorrow night with the trading deadline getting ever closer. Larry steps off the rubber. Now back to the stretch and steps off again. He's trying to keep Edwards a little closer. Now time is called as at the plate, Tommy Harper steps out. Pitch to the right-hand batter. Swung on it on the ground to third. Charlie Smith up, drops it, picks it up, throws it on. In time, he's out at first base. So Tommy Harper grounds out and the side is retired with no runs, one hit, no errors, and one left. And the score at the end of three full innings is the Reds nothing and the Mets nothing. Well, you know, there's a lot more to beer drinking than meets the eye. And you'd be surprised what strong feelings people have about what they drink their beer out of. Some people like to drink beer from a can and some from a bottle. And there are those who won't drink it anyway, but from a glass. We think a lot of Rheingold drinkers are going to be happy with our new Chug-A-Mug. The Chug-A-Mug is a wide-mouth glass mug that holds 12 ounces of Rheingold Extra Dry, and it even feels right when you pick it up. That little cold brown mug has the shape and weight and gurgle of a good thirst-quenching drink of beer. And, of course, that's what you get because there's Rheingold inside. You don't need an opener either. You just pull the tab and the top comes off with a hiss that sounds like the good Rheingold flavor. Look for the special Chug-A-Mug displays in your area. Drink the beer that's number one in New York City and drink it from our little drink-shaped Rheingold Chug-A-Mug. We think you'll agree that we must be doing something right. Through three innings of play now, no score for the Cincinnati Reds. No runs, one hit, no errors for the Mets. No runs, no hits, no errors. And the top of the fourth, Chuck Hiller will be coming up for the Mets to face hard-throwing right-hander Jim Maloney, who has struck out six in three innings so far. Chuck Hiller has been up one time. And he grounded out pitcher to first. Hiller, the second baseman, a left-hand batter, in and waiting now. At third base, Darren Johnson's on the edge of the infield grass. Maloney winds and fires, starts him off with a breaking ball in there for a called strike. Johnny Edwards behind the plate as Maloney reads his signs. And the strike one delivers a fastball. It's hit one hop to Cardenas at short. Up with it, and he plays on in time. Hiller hit the ball well, drilled it one hop to Cardenas, who was shaded over toward the bag at second, and it was right at him. There's one away. Charlie Smith's coming up, batting number three in the batting order. He's been up one time, and he flied out to Frank Robinson in right field. There's a swing and a miss. And here is the pitch. Bunted on and missed. And it's strike two. Charlie Smith was trying to push it up to first baseline, moved out of the batter's box, and it is strike two. Maloney's personal strikeout record is 16. A year ago, May 21st, he struck out 16 Milwaukee Braves. Here is the two-strike delivery, and it's swung on and foul back. Count holds at two strikes. One away and nobody on base. Ed Cranepool is waiting in the on-deck circle for the Mets. No score in this game. Here's two-strike delivery, and it's fired high and away. Fastball. Here's the 1-2 delivery. And he swung and missed, and the ball got by. And going on to first is Charlie Smith as Edwards is chasing it back. It was a breaking ball. It went low and away. And Charlie Smith swung and missed, and so he's on at first base. Pitcher gets credit for a strikeout. And it is strikeout number 7, but the Mets get a base runner. It is a wild pitch. A wild pitch is charged against Maloney, who is credited with a strikeout on the same play. One man out, the Mets have a runner at first, and Ed Cranepool is up. And the pitch is high for a ball. Cranepool's been up one time, and he walked. Play on Charlie Smith provides the answer to one of baseball's age-old riddle questions. How can a pitcher have more than 3 strikeouts in an inning? Well, if that ball keeps going by and the batter swings and goes to first, he can have considerably more. Here's the pitch low. 2-0 now to Cranepool. Johnny Lewis is waiting in the on-deck circle. Charlie Smith is the second Met base runner in the game. Cranepool, when he drew the walk with the other in the second. Here's a swing and a miss. 2-1. Eddie took a cut at that one. Maloney has struck out 7 and walked 1. And the pitch is in there for a call strike. Fastball, it's 2-2. Maloney takes a look around before getting set to work again. Looks into Edwards. Gordon Coleman at first base is holding against the runner, Charlie Smith. Smith takes his lead. Here's the pitch. Swung on it on the ground to second. Taken by Pete Rose to Cardinals for 1. The throw to first, a double play. It goes 4-6-3, and the side is retired. No runs, no hits, no errors. None left, and the score at the end of 3.5 innings is a Mets nothing, the Reds nothing. Now it's time for another unusual fact from the Viceroy Hall of Records. You know, you can never be sure who's going to win a game until the last out. The Athletics proved that in 1925, playing against the Indians. Philadelphia got up in the 8th, trailing by a score of 15-4. But they didn't let that stop them. They tallied 13 times and won the game 17-15. Think about that the next time your team is behind. And what say you think about Viceroy next time you buy cigarettes? Because Viceroy is specifically designed to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, like some brands, that taste as if they didn't have a filter, and not too light, like some others. You know the kind. They just never seem to satisfy your taste. But Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the filter for the taste that's right.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right, not too strong and not too light, the taste that's right.
We're going down to the bottom half of the 4th inning, and switch hitter Pete Rose is stepping in for the Cincinnati Reds, batting left against right-hander Frank Larry. Rose is hitting .299 with 3 homers and 17 runs batted in. He walked in the 1st inning. Larry starts the motion, and he tries the drag, but it's back to Larry. Fires on in time, and Pete Rose is out. He tried to drag the ball. We're going to step out for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
810 on your dial, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around, the voice of the Mets in the great Northeast.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, Ohio. Later, Benson is the batter. Larry deals a pitch, and it's low for a ball. 1-0 the count. Benson's been up one time, hit the ball a shot, but on a line to Hiller at second, and he was able to double Pete Rose off the bag at first. Benson has been off to a great start this year. He's hitting .318. The double play for the Mets was 64 in the season. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground, threw into right field for a base hit. That is the second hit of the game, the second hit for the Reds off Frank Larry. Here's the Reds, base runner with one away, and Frank Robinson coming up. He's been up one time, and he grounded out pitcher to first. Robinson hitting .298 with 10 home runs and 39 runs batted in. Lane Poole comes over to hold against the runner at first base. Here's a throw over, not in time. Benson dives back in to grab the bag with his bare hand. Gets up now to brush the dirt off his uniform. Robinson, a right-hand batter at the plate. And Larry steps off the rubber to tighten up Benson on the base pass. Again, Larry sets. The pitch swung on, and hit deep to right, and racing over now is Johnny Lewis. He's at the right field corner. He makes the catch at the base of the incline, fires it back, and Beta Benson returns to first. Two away. Robinson flying out the right field corner, and that brings up Gordon Coleman. He's been up one time, and he grounded out to first base unassisted. Gordon Coleman with a .352 batting average. Six home runs and 27 runs batted in. Coleman on top in the National League batting race. Left-hand batter. Larry checks Benson. Here's the pitch. Swung on and popped up foul. Coming back is Canizero, but this one is out of play. Came back about halfway and then saw that it was going to be too far. So it's strike one. There is no screen directly behind home plate. It is instead a glass. The screen was removed before the start of the season, and glass has been installed there. And the Cincinnati Reds management reports that the fans now have become used to it, and now they get quite a few requests for people who want tickets so they can sit behind the glass. They don't mind looking through it at all. Larry said, checks the runner at first. And the pitch swung on it on the ground, foul, back at first, glove by Craneville. Two strike count to Gordon Coleman. Coleman is an alumnus of Duke University. Last year, Darren Johnson moved him out of his position and took over first base, and this year the Reds moved Johnson over to third, where they had a problem, and planned to platoon Coleman and Tony Perez. Runner goes, pitch out, and Canizero throws, and he is out as McMillan now drops the ball, and he's safe at second. The out call made, and McMillan drops the ball after he made the tag, so he's safe, and an error is charged on Roy McMillan at shortstop. Canizero had called for a pitch out and fired it down there, and Mac came across, took the ball, made the sweeping tag on Benson, and the umpire at second, Augie Donatelli, made the out call with a big sweep and then saw the ball pop out of the glove of McMillan. So an error is charged. It's 1-2 now to Coleman at the plate with two men out and a runner at second. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled off. Swung on and missed. And now he goes on down to first and rounding third and coming home is Simpson through to Larry. And he is out at the plate. Simpson is out at the plate as Canizero retrieved the ball and fired it to Larry. Here was the play. It was low, and Gordon Coleman swung and missed, and then took off for first base on the missed third strike. Henson rounded third, came home. Canizzaro came back, retrieved the ball, fired it up there to Frank Larry covering the plate, and Beta Benson was out as Larry made the tag on him. So Larry, of course, gets a strikeout on Gordon Coleman. It was a fast ball charged against Canizzaro, and then the play goes 2-1 on Beta Benson as he rounded third and came tearing home. So in the bottom half of the fourth inning, no runs, one hit, there was one error, and there was one man left. We're going to the fifth inning now, and Johnny Lewis is up for the Mets. Jim Maloney deals a pitch, and it's a breaking ball. High, ball one. Maloney has struck out seven, walk one so far in the game. And again, Maloney with the pitch, and it's low for a ball. Two and oh the count. Fastball fired in. It's 2-1 at the letters. And the pitch is in there for a call, strike two. It's 2-2. The Mets do not yet have a hit. Off Jim Maloney. 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed, and it's strikeout number eight for Maloney. Second time that Johnny Lewis has struck out. And Ron Swoboda's coming up. He's been up one time, and he grounded out third to first. Through four innings, the Reds, no runs, two hits, no errors. The Mets, no runs, no hits, one error. Maloney's pitched to Swoboda, and it's high for a ball. He started the swing and laid off at the last moment. It's 1-0. One away in the top of the fifth. Maloney's pitch, breaking ball. He took a kick that time and then an exaggerated motion with the breaking ball. It's 2-0. The Mets have had two base runners in this game. Cranefoot walked in the second. Charlie Smith struck out and on a wild pitch on a third strike got the first in the fourth inning. Here's the pitch in for a called strike. 2-1 now to Swoboda. Maloney with the 2-1 delivery. Swung on and fouled off to the right side and out of play. So it's 2-2 to Swoboda. Maloney has struck out eight and walked one to this point. He has been blazing that fastball tonight. Here's the 2-2 delivery. Swung on and missed. Struck him out, and it's strikeout number nine for Maloney. Two away, nobody on base, and Roy McMillan's the batter. Roy has been up one time and was called out on strikes. Remember, Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the filter for the taste that's right. That's ball outside for ball one. McMillan is very well known in these parts. He played 10 years for the Cincinnati Reds. During that time, he was twice the starting shortstop in the All-Star game. Breaking ball over the top of his head, and it's 2-0. And the 2-0 pitch. Swung on and missed. Fastball. Threw it by him. It's 2-1. Two men out and nobody on base. Mets have not yet reached Jim Maloney for a base hit, and we're in the top of the fifth. 2-1 delivery. And it's fired in there for a strike, and it's 2-2. And here's the 2-2 delivery. Swung on and hit in the air to center field. They defense and drift back. And he's there and he makes the catch. So the tide is up. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. Score at the end of 4.5 innings is Mets nothing and the Reds nothing. If you've been wondering what Swedish Americans sing after the smorgasbord, listen to this.
Turalleri is a song that Swedish Americans sing over and over at their parties and picnics until they raise a fearful thirst. Then they change their tune. Helan Gore is a traditional Swedish drinking song, and often the beer they drink is Rheingold Extra Dry. In fact, in New York City, where there are more Swedes than in all of Husqvarna, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do Swedish Americans like Rheingold? We don't know. But we must be doing something right.
We're going now to the bottom half of the fifth inning, and it'll be Darren Johnson coming up to lead off for the Cincinnati Reds. He's been up one time, and he flied out to right field. He's a right-hand batter. Larry reading the sign of Chris Canizaro. And the pitch is low and away for ball one. Johnson's batting number 6 in the batting order tonight. Frank Larry with the 1-0 delivery. And it's low for a ball, so he goes behind 2-0 now to Darren Johnson. With Johnny Edwards on deck. Larry has struck out 2 and walked 1 in the game. Here's the 2-0 delivery. Swung on and hit in the air to right and down the line, curving over foul and going into the seats and out of play. So it's 2-1 now to Darren Johnson. Greenville gave it a run back. Diller went over and Johnny Lewis was coming on. We had an impressive flag ceremony prior to the start of tonight's game. On this, the occasion of Flag Day, June 14th. They've had two hits off Larry so far. Here's the 2-1 delivery. Swung on and missed. It's 2-2. Had him all the way around. And 2-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled back. Got a little piece of it to stay alive at 2-2. New ball into play, and Frank Larry's rubbing it up. Johnson's a leadoff batter for the Reds here in the bottom half of the fifth inning. And a 2-2 pitch is swung on and missed, and Frank Larry gets his third strikeout as he gets Darren Johnson swinging. One away, and that'll bring up Johnny Edwards, who has been up one time and had a ground single up the middle. It was a leadoff base hit in the bottom of the third. He was sacrificed to second, but then Maloney struck out and Harper grounded out to end the inning. That's nothing and the Reds nothing here in the bottom half of the fifth. Swinging a ground ball off the glove of Larry and over to Charlie Smith. He barehands and throws on in time. Make it 1-5-3. It was off the glove of Larry, rolled over on the grass toward third, and Charlie Smith charged it, barehanded the ball, and fired on in time. So there are two men out, and Leo Cardenas is coming up. Been up one time and sacrificed. Larry started after that ball himself, but saw that Charlie Smith would be able to get to it and had the throwing angle, so he hastened to get out of the way. Larry into the motion, and the pitch to the right-hand batter. Swung on and laced into center field for a base hit. Cowan is over, up with the ball, plays it back, and Cardenas turns and holds. That is the third hit for the Reds off Larry. Comes with two men out at the bottom of the fifth, and it brings up Jim Maloney. Maloney has been up one time, and he struck out swinging. Comes racing around through the gate now, and over to the bat rack. Maloney has been spectacular on the mound tonight. He's running up to the plate now, getting a hand as he does. Through his first five innings on the mound, he struck out nine, and the Mets do not yet have a hit off him, so it's been a spectacular night for him on the mound so far. Larry bluffs the throw over to first. He was off the rubber. Rainpool playing behind the runner there with the left-hand batter up. Cardenas leaps, and here's the pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground, and it's taken by Rainpool. He jogs to the bag, and the side is out. At good position for the ground ball. No runs, one hit, no errors, one left, and the score at the end of five full innings is the Reds nothing and the Mets nothing. Well, if you're a baseball fan who circles dates on your baseball calendar for future reference, I think you'll want to circle Saturday afternoon, July 24th, because that's the date of the annual Old Timers Day at Shea Stadium. Top stars of the old New York Giants and Brooklyn Dodgers will be assembled from all over the country to appear once again before local fans, and we'll be telling you who they are throughout the next few weeks as their acceptances come in. Of course, in recent years, Old Timers Day has become a favorite day of the entire baseball season because it's a chance for Dad to come out and bring the whole family and show the youngsters the fellows who were stars when he was a kid and when he was a young baseball fan. Already having accepted for Old Timers Day at Shea Stadium are Roy Campanella, the great catcher for the Dodgers, Van Lingo Mungo, the great pitcher for the Dodgers, Rube Marquardt, one of the all-time great pitching stars, Don Newcomb of more recent years, Travis Jackson, the fine Giant infielder, and Babe Herman, the Dodger outfielder. Campanella, Mungo, Marquardt, Newcomb, Jackson, Herman, there'll be many, many more. And then after the Old Timers Day ceremonies, the Mets will play the Philadelphia Phillies and the regularly scheduled game of that day. So the date is July 24th. Make your plans to attend right now. And by the way, that also is Ladies' Day, so plan to come out with the whole family and see the ball game and see the Old Timers. Well, we've got a real good one going here tonight at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, as Jim Maloney has not yet given up a hit, and he has struck out nine. And coming in here to take you along the way, Ralph Kiner.
Thank you, Lindsay, and hi to everyone. Quick check of the scores in the National League at the end of four. St. Louis 2, Pittsburgh 1. Bob Veal against Carlton of the St. Louis Cardinals. Bailey a home run for Pittsburgh in the first with no one on. At the end of 1.5, Chicago 1, Houston nothing. Larry Jackson pitching for the Cubs against Bob Bruce. Only two games scheduled other than the game right here. Yankees lost to Cleveland 5-4. Only game scheduled in the American League. The first pitch to Chris Canizares. Sit on down to third. The play made the first base in time for the out. So Jim Maloney, who had nine strikeouts, going to the top of the sixth, finds Canizares grounding out to third base in the first pitch. Chris had struck out his first time up, so he now is 0-2. And that'll bring up Frank Larry. Frank also a strikeout victim his first time up. He swings at a fastball, fouls it back at strike one. So far in the ballgame, Billy Cowan has gone down twice. Charlie Smith once. Johnny Lewis twice. Ron Swoboda once. Roy McMillan once. Chris Canizares once. And Frank Larry once. Pitch back is in for strike two. 0-2 on Frank Larry. Mets have had two base runners in the game, one in a walk and the other in a strikeout. Charlie Smith reaching first base after swinging at a pitch that was in the dirt. It went on by the catcher, and he got to first. It was scored a strikeout in a wild pitch. Pitch back is outside. A fast ball, one ball, two strikes. That's happened twice in the game for the Cincinnati Reds. Gordon Coleman struck out and reached first base on a pass ball. Now the 1-2 pitch, a swing and a foul ball. As Larry has fooled the curve, hits just the top of it, fouls it down the dirt. Then he reaches over and hits the ball with his bat as it's sitting out in front of him. He pounded down on it like, come here, I'll get you yet. One of the great stories when the umpire asked for a ball and the ball was lobbed up for the umpire to get it when the guy swung and hit it. First good pitch he'd seen all day. Pitches right over the top of Larry's head. It's ball two. Two balls, two strikes. No score. One man out, the top of the sixth. And now Jim Maloney back again in the ball line to center. Right there playing shallow is Vada Pinson. He sort of backtracks about three or four steps and makes a catch. Well, you couldn't be playing any more perfectly than Vada Pinson was in that line drive, just a shade of right of center. So two away. Strikeouts holding at nine for Jim Maloney. The batter coming up is Billy Cowan. Right-hand batter, the first pitch to Bill is a curve that's way inside. A little bit high, too. It's ball one. Cowan batting 197. One ball, no strikes. The pitch back to the plate. A curve this time in. That's strike one. One ball, one strike. Maloney has been getting most of his strikeouts with his fastball, but he's had a good curve tonight and has set up a fastball that looks very fast. Now at 1-1, the pitch back to the plate. A fastball too low, and it's ball two. Two balls, one strike. Fine pitchers duel. Frank Larry against Jim Maloney. Maloney with a record this year of 5-2. This is his 11th start. He is not relieved. 2-1 pitch is just outside. Again, the fastball. It's ball three. Three balls, one strike. Three and one on Billy Cowan. And now the big right-hander into the motion and back again. And a fastball hit on the ground down to second. Picked up by Pete Rose. The throw to first base is in time for the out. So Maloney gets 1-2-3. No more strikeouts. He has a total of nine. And the score at the end of 5.5 innings, the Mets nothing, the Cincinnati Reds nothing. Want to get better performance from your car? Listen to this.
A safety tip from Shell. Smooth steering is critical. Has your car got it? At all speeds? As soon as you can, try this easy road test, courtesy of your local Shell dealer. Pick a smooth stretch of road where it's legal to go 60 miles an hour. First, hold a steady speed of 40. Then move up to 50. Then up to the legal limit. Hold both hands lightly on the steering wheel and feel carefully. Does the wheel shake as your speed increases? Or does it shake at 50, for example, but not at 60? Either way, it's a good bet your wheels are out of balance. Double check by looking at your front tires. If they're wearing unevenly in spots, you can be almost sure your wheels need balancing. See your Shell dealer. Balancing wheels doesn't take long, isn't expensive. Incidentally, if you should need new tires, your Shell dealer can show you just the right size at just the right price. At Shell, service is our business.
Moving to the bottom half of the sixth inning. The Reds coming up, the score is at nothing-nothing. Mets no runs, no hits. The Reds no runs and three hits. First man up will be the leadoff batter, Tommy Harper. Tommy is 0 for 2. Average of 270 with four home runs and 25 runs batted in. Frank Lurie now set to go. Frank has given up three hits. They have come in the third, fourth, and fifth innings. Now he's starting the bottom half of the sixth. It'll be Tommy Harper, Pete Rose, and Vada Pinson. And the first pitch is hit hard by the third baseman in the left field. Harper goes to first base, holds there. Ron Svoboda comes up with the ball and throws it on in. So the Reds get a lead runner on. And with no one out, the batter coming up is Pete Rose. And and the organ-led charge sign given out here by the fans at Bosley Stadium. They do the same thing down in Houston. Pete Rose batting from the left-hand side. He has walked, and also he was thrown out when he tried to bunt his way on. Mets looking for a bunt. Frank Larry stepping off the pitching rubber, faking the throw to first. Tommy Harper on at first base, a fine base runner. He has 9 stolen bases, one behind Veda Pinson, who leads the club. And the first pitch is bunted foul. Ball going out of play, strike one. One strike count on Pete Rose. Pete's having himself a pretty good year, batting at .295, 3 home runs and 17 runs batted in. First year out, he beat Ron Hunt out for the rookie of the year at second base honors. He was picked as the top second baseman in the league. Last year, of course, Ron Hunt made the All-Star team as the top second baseman, including all players. One strike count. Frank Larry quickly to first, but Eddie Cranepool was in front of the bag. The throw would not have been that close anyway if Ed had not been in front of the bag. He took the throw about 2 steps in front. He's coming in to make a try for the bunt if it comes off. Dolly Smith at a shallow third base position. A pitch out, the runner going. The throw to second base is in time. So twice now, Chris Canizero has pitched out with the runner going. First time he threw the runner out, but the ball was dropped by Roy McMillan. This time he got his man. So that erases the base runner. The Mets pick up their first out on some fine catching by Chris Canizero. They have tried twice, and he has pitched out both times. One ball, one strike count now on Pete Rose, and Frank Larry will go into the windup on the next delivery. Roy McMillan taking the throw at second base this time. First time the throw was not a good throw. Roy had to make a swinging tag, and he did not have good possession. The next pitch back is high. It's ball two. This throw was right on the money. Two and one on Pete Rose. The on-deck batter is Veda Pinson. No score. Pitch back is a let-up, but inside. So the count now moves out to 3 balls and 1 strike. All the action has been with the Cincinnati Reds. They have 4 hits in the ballgame, the whole total. One man out, the bottom half of the 6th. Now the right-hander into the windup is 3-1 pitch. Is hit slowly down toward first base. Painful hustling over is up with it. He throws to the pitcher covering at the bag, and they get Pete Rose. Good play, and while we wait for Veda Pinson to come up, we pause now for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
810 on your dial, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around, the voice of the Mets in the great Northeast.
Ralph Kiner along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy from Crosley Field in Cincinnati. A pitcher still going, no score, 2 out in the bottom half of the 6th, and the batter's Veda Pinson. Veda has hit the ball well at 2 times up. His first time up, he lined to the second baseman, Chuck Hiller. Chuck threw to first base to double up Pete Rose, who had walked. Veda's second time up, he hit a single into right field. Almost scored as he tried to come around from second base on the pass ball. Pitch to the plate, hit on the ground down to second base. Chuck Hiller puts the glove on it, throws over to first base after getting position, and he retires aside. No runs, 1 hit, no errors, and no one left on base, and the score at the end of 6. The Mets nothing, the Reds nothing. Top of the 7th inning, no score. The Mets coming up, and Jim Maloney taking his warm-up pitches. He has been strong here tonight. In the 1st inning, Jim Maloney got the side 1-2-3, picking up a strikeout. In the 2nd, he walked the first batter, struck out 2, and got 1 on the ground ball. In the 3rd, he struck out the side. In the 4th, he struck out 1. Strikeout reaching first, a double play effected after that to get the side 1-2-3. In the 5th, he struck out the side, the first 2 batters, and got 1 in center field for a 1-2-3 inning. In the 6th, he did not strike out anyone, and I can imagine that some Mets fan will say he's weakening because he didn't strike out a batter for the first time in an inning. Now his pitch to the plate is strike 1. He comes back and misses outside. It's ball 1. 1 ball, 1 strike as he works to Chuck Hiller. Chuck hit a hard ground ball to short his 2nd time up in the 4th inning. The closest thing the Mets have had to a base hit. It was taken by Leo Cardenas on the first hop. Now ground ball past the first, hauled down by the first baseman. A big play by the first baseman, Gordy Goldman. Gordy Goldman going over by the foul line, dove for the ball. Looked like it was fine. He came up with it, and he, of course, receives a great hand. And that is the closest thing to a base hit now. Chuck Giller having both, and it brings up Charlie Smith. Goldman getting up to make the play. Unassisted at first base. Charlie Smith is 0 for 2. He flied out to right field his first time up, struck out of reach when the ball went by the catcher, a wild pitch charged to the pitcher. And the first pitch, a curveball outside, ball one. Pitch back to the plate, a curveball swung on, it's strike one. Charlie Smith with a good swing. All the Mets have not had a strikeout for their last four batters. Make it five. Now the 1-1 delivery. A check and a swing, but not in time. It'll cost him a strike. One ball, two strikes. One and two on Charlie Smith. Charlie batting at 277. And Maloney into the windup and back again. And the fastball is swung on and missed. Strike three. And Jim Maloney picks up his 10th. Ten strikeouts for Jim Maloney, and he'll be working now to Ed Cranepool. Ed, one of the two men that reached first base. He walked his first time up in a 3-1 pitch. Other was Charlie Smith when he struck out and reached when the ball got by the catcher. First pitch is fouled off. On the left side, it's strike one. Cranepool batting at 318 with four home runs and 29 runs batted in. No score in this ball game. Two outs in the top of the seventh. Then a fly ball hit out the left field, moving to his right side. Back to the incline, the right fielder Tommy Hopper, the left fielder Tommy Hopper, and he makes the catch. So a 1-2-3 inning again. A strikeout for Jim Maloney. He now has 10. And the score at the end of 6.5 innings, the Mets nothing, the Reds nothing. And now here's Lindsay.
Well, now it's time for another unusual fact from the Viceroy Hall of Records. Got a question for you. Know the name of the first professional baseball team? It was the Cincinnati Red Stockings, formed back in 1869. And what a club they had. They played their first 130 games without a defeat. That's one record nobody's going to top. And in the Filter Cigarette League, you can't top Viceroy, because Viceroy is specifically designed to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Viceroy is not too strong, like some brands that taste as if they didn't have a filter, and not too light, like some others. You know the kind. They never seem to satisfy your taste. But Viceroy is not too strong and not too light. Viceroy's got the filter for the taste that's right. When you try Viceroy, you'll agree.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Not too strong and not too light. The taste that's right.
It's the bottom half of the seventh. The Reds coming up, a no-score ball game. The first man up will be the right fielder, Frank Robinson. He'll be followed by Gordy Coleman and Darren Johnson. And Frank Leary, all set to go as he stands on the 50 mound. Frank Robinson flied out to fairly deep right field his second time up. His first time up, he bounced back to the pitcher. And his first pitch here is swung on and missed. A hard swing and a high slider, strike one. Robinson batting at 296 with 10 home runs and 39 runs batted in. He got off to a great start this year, something he doesn't usually do, and lately he has been dropping down a bit. Lifetime 300 batter in the National League. His one strike delivery is a curveball bounced down to short. Roy McMillan in to get it. He throws over to first base into the dirt. It's dug out by Cranepool for the out. And on the swing, Frank Robinson fooled by the pitch, let go of the bat, and the bat went out toward third base about 60 feet from home plate. So the first out effected here in the bottom half of the seventh, 6-3. And it will bring up Gordy Coleman. Coleman is 0 for 2. He started the ballgame leading the National League in hitting with a 354 average. He is now down to 349. Coleman saving the no-hitter for Jim Maloney with a great play in the top of the seventh. And there's a drive to right center, base hit. Coming over is Billy Cowan. He heads it off. Coleman goes to first base and holds there as the throw comes back in. So the Reds now have picked up a base hit in each of the last five innings off Frank Leary, their total in the game. And time, it's a complete total in the ballgame as the Mets have none. That'll bring up Darren Johnson. Darren is 0 for 2, right out the right field, and struck out. Frank Larry has struck out. Three batters in the ballgame. Mets set their infield for the double play. And the first pitch to Johnson is down and away. It's ball one. Johnson batting at .267 with 10 home runs and 41 runs batted in. He leads the club in RBIs. Is tied for the club lead in home runs with his 10. Tied with Frank Robinson. One ball, no strike. Frank Larry with a runner at first base. He looks there, comes back to the plate. Is hit down slowly to third base. It's a fair ball. Throw to second base for one. That's all he can make. No throw on the first. The ball hit too slowly. But the force play at second takes Coleman out. Puts Darren Johnson at first base, and the Mets now have their second out as Johnny Edwards comes up. Johnny with one base hit in two times up. He was out in a good play by Charlie Smith his last time up. The ball was hit through the middle, and Frank Larry got his glove on it, and the ball rolled over toward the third base side of the pitcher's mound. Charlie had to hustle in and underhand the ball to first base, and he got his man by just a stride. Now a conference at the mound. Chris Canizero and Ed Cranepool talking with Frank Larry. Edwards, a left-hand batter. And he's going over to get some rosin. Now Cranepool back to first base. Evidently he's checking to see whether or not he'd want to hold Darren Johnson on. He's going to play behind the runner at first. We'll guard against the left-hand batter, Johnny Edwards. Now Canizero back of home plate, and the action will start. Two away in the bottom half of the seventh, no score. Rainbow moving in now to the bag and away, trying to keep Johnson as close as he can. First pitch is popped up into left field. Coming strongly is Ron Svoboda. He has some room, and he makes a catch, and that retires the side. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left on. And the score at the end of seven innings, New York Mets nothing, the Cincinnati Reds nothing. And other games in the National League at the end of five and a half innings, the St. Louis Cardinals 4, the Pittsburgh Pirates 2. Bob Beal working for the Pirates. Taylor has relieved Carlton for the St. Louis Cardinals. One home run by Bailey in the first with no one on. At the end of three and a half, Chicago won, Houston nothing. Larry Jackson pitching for the Cubs and Bob Bruce going for the Astros. And today they announced that Bob Kennedy, who was the head coach of the Cubs, has been moved up to an executive position, an assistant to John Holland, the general manager. And the new manager of the Cubs, or new acting coach, whichever you prefer, will be an infielder, Luke Klein. He's been a coach with the ball club at some time. He actually ran the club at one time, and they had the revolving coaching system at Chicago. Philadelphia, Milwaukee, L.A., and San Francisco not scheduled. Over in the American League, two games scheduled, one rained out. The Yankees were beaten by Cleveland by a score of 5-4. Winning pitcher McMahon in relief, losing pitcher was Mickelson. Indians scoring two runs in the bottom half of the eighth to win the ball game by one run. Alves all run in the fourth with no one on base. Baltimore, Boston, that game rained out. Only game scheduled. So that's the way it looks right now on the scoreboard. This ball game, an exciting game. Jim Maloney, who has never pitched a no-hitter, is going to the top of the eighth inning, and the Mets have yet to have a base hit. And he has had a fine strikeout performance going. He has struck out 10. And now to take you the rest of the exciting way, stay tuned, because the action is coming your way now from Bob Murphy.
Okay, Ralph, the eighth inning, Jenny Lewis stepping in against Jim Maloney. Maloney's opening assignment this year, he just missed pitching a no-hit ball game against the Milwaukee Braves. Swing and a miss by Jenny, strike one. You'll remember Maloney had a very bad spring training. He was hit so hard during the spring that Dick Sisler was unsure whether he should have him in the starting rotation when the year opened. Here's the pitch on the way. Outside, one ball, one strike. But Maloney made his first start on the 19th of April. He had a no-hit ball game going to the eighth inning when Dennis Menke singled. And that was the only hit that Maloney gave up in beating the Braves 2-0. A swing and a miss on a breaking ball.
He also had pitched another one-hitter before, so he's had 2 one-hit games in his career, but no no-hitter.
Jim Maloney, in this game tonight, has walked one man, struck out 10, allowed no runs, no hits. Johnny Lewis has been up twice and been struck out both times. The Reds have not had a no-hit ball game since Yul Blackwell pitched a no-hitter against the Braves in 47. Inside, pressing him back from the plate, two balls, two strikes. There was a combined no-hit ball game, an extra inning ball game that the Reds lost to Milwaukee in 1956. Foul ball back, no play. In that game, Johnny Klipstein worked seven innings, Herschel Freeman the eighth inning, and Joe Black the ninth. Then the Braves, with three base hits in the 11th inning, won it 2-1. It's 2-2 on Johnny Lewis, leading off the eighth. Here's the pitch on the way, and the breaking ball is inside, 3-2.
Back to Yul Blackwell. He almost followed that no-hitter up with another one the next time out. He was pitching against the Dodgers. The only hit was by Eddie Stanky, who's now with the Mets, and that came in the ninth. Went right between Blackwell's legs.
And in Cincinnati history, the double no-hitters of Johnny Vandermeer. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Lewis fanned for the third time by Maloney, and that's Maloney's 11th strike out of the game. One out and nobody on. Now Ron Swoboda stepping in against Jim Maloney, the flamethrower from Fresno, California. Ron has bounced to third and struck out. Curve over, a strike call. Two years ago, when Jim Maloney won 23 games, he tied the Cincinnati club strikeout record for 16 in one ballgame. A swing and a miss. Strike two. He threw the fastball by Swoboda. It was a record that had stood up since 1901 by Noodles Hahn. Two years ago, in winning 23, Maloney struck out 265 men for a Cincinnati club record. Now the two-strike delivery. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. And Ron is struck out on three pitches by Maloney, and he is really throwing flame. If he has slowed up any since the opening inning, Ralph, I can't tell it from here.
He has been strong right through this ballgame. He looks as fast as I've ever seen him pitch. He's also had a good curve going for him. Incidentally, the strikeout record for strikeouts in one game is 18. That's held by Sandy Koufax and Bob Feller. Koufax has done it twice. He did it one time against the Giants at night and one time against the Cubs in the daytime.
Now Roy McMillan, the batter, and the pitch a little bit high. One ball and no strikes. Maloney has been as overpowering as any pitcher could conceivably be in a ballgame. One real good fielding play, that by Gordy Coleman. Now the pitch underway, a foul ball back upstairs, one ball, one strike. Otherwise, there's only been two balls even hit reasonably hard. Larry hit a line drive to Pinson in center field. Chuck Hiller hit a low liner that was taken on one hop by the shortstop, Leo Cardenas. The only good play required in the field was on the ball hit by Chuck Hiller leading off in the seventh inning. Now the windup by Maloney, the 1-1 pitch. Low and outside, two balls and a strike. Jim Maloney, 6'4" right-hander from Fresno, California. Five wins and two losses on the year, with a one-hit shutout to his credit, working on a no-hitter here in the eighth inning. Curve is over, a beauty, 2-2. He has had excellent control of a blazing fastball and a big overhand curve. It's 2-2 as McMillan waits. A ground ball whacked foul down the first baseline. Handled by Gordy Coleman, had the ball been fair, would have retired the side. You know, we think a lot of Wrangell drinkers are going to be happy with our new Chug-A-Mug package of 6 12-ounce mugs. Now on special display in your area. No opener needed. Just pull the tab and drink your Rheingold Extra Dry right from the mug. It's 2-2 on Roy McMillan. The ball game scoreless. We're in the eighth inning. Two outs, nobody on. And Jim Maloney is working on a no-hit ball game. The big right-hander out of his windup. Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. And Maloney fans the side in the eighth inning. He now has struck out 13 men. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. And this crowd is going to be watching the rest of the way with real bated breath. At the end of 7.5 innings, the New York Mets nothing and the Cincinnati Reds nothing. Is this one of those nights when you're not yourself? You'll feel more so when you listen to this.
I'm not myself at all.
Molly dear,
I'm not myself at all.
This song gets sung over and over at Irish parties and picnics until the singers raise a ferocious thirst. Then they change their tune.
Come fill up your glasses and drink what you will, while the mangers on me every day.
This is a traditional Irish drinking song, and often the beer they drink is Rheingold Extra Dry. In fact, in New York City, where there are more Irish than in the whole of Dublin, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do Irish Americans like Rheingold? We don't know, but we must be doing something right.
I'm a man you don't meet every day. I'm a man you don't meet every day.
Last of the eighth inning, no score. Leo Cardenas leading off against Frank Larry, who has pitched brilliantly in his own right. Now Larry, into his windup, here's the pitch to Leo Cardenas. Bounced foul, strike one. The top strikeout performance of Major League Baseball this year has been 16 in one ballgame. Bob Beal struck out 16 against Philadelphia in a rain-delayed ballgame at Forbes Field. A night that Veal shut out the Phillies 4-0. Just off the outside corner, one ball, one strike. Leo Cardenas has one of the five scattered hits given up by Frank Larry. Now Larry out of his windup, the 1-1 delivery. A squibber hit down the first baseline, fielded by Larry. He puts the tag on the runner Cardenas. To be doubly sure, flips the ball to Crane Pool. Scored an unassisted play. Larry tagging Cardenas coming down the line. Here's the hand for Jim Maloney. On the 19th of April, making his first start of this year, Maloney had a no-hitter until the eighth inning against Milwaukee. He wound up with a one-hit shutout. The only hit was a single by Dennis Menke. Here tonight, he goes to the ninth inning, working on a no-hitter. Now the pitch by Larry. He bunts it foul off to the left, strike one. In the ninth inning, the Mets will have Chris Cannizzaro, Frank Larry, and Billy Cowan coming up. The only no-hitter thrown against the Mets in their brief three and a third year history. Well, two, I should say. Ground ball hit foul off to the right. The first one was thrown by Sandy Koufax at Dodger Stadium. And the second one was the perfect ball game by Jim Bunning at Shea Stadium last year. Bunning's perfect day was on Father's Day at Shea Stadium. Now Larry out of his wind at the two-strike delivery. A slow grounder coming off the mound is Larry. Frank picks it up, throws to Crane Pool, and Maloney is out. Two men down. So what a pitching duel this is between the veteran right-hander Frank Larry, the little battler from Northport, Alabama, and the big hard-throwing right-hander from Fresno, California, Jim Maloney. Now the top of the Cincinnati batting order, and Tommy Harper takes his time in coming on to hit to give Jim Maloney a chance to get back to the dugout and rest for a moment. Maloney in the ninth inning will be facing the eighth, ninth, and first hitters in the batting order. Tommy Harper has one hit and three times up. He singled in the sixth inning, tried to steal second, but Cannizzaro pitched out on him and cut him down. He's hit by the pitch. Tommy Harper is hit by a pitch. He tried to jump away from a fastball fired inside, and he couldn't get away from it, so Harper goes down to first, hit by a pitch ball. That'll bring up Pete Rose, the switch-hitting second baseman. Rose has reached on a walk, been thrown out, trying to bunt for a hit, and bounced out to Eddie Cranepool. Rechecking our figures, Eddie Cranepool got as far as second base. So only once in the ballgame have the Mets had a runner as far as second. Cranepool reached on a walk in the second inning and moved over on a slow grounder hit to third by Ron Swoboda. The Mets have had two base runners. Now Rose, the hitter, with two outs and one on, last of the eighth inning, no score. There goes Harper. Here's the pitch on the way. The peg by Cannizzaro, the slide. He's safe. The ball goes into center field. Harper is streaking to third. The throw to third by Callen, not in time. Stolen base for Tommy Harper. And an error on the throw by Chris Cannizzaro. Chris trying to hurry his throw. Harper had a great jump, Ralph. And so Cannizzaro trying to get as much as he could on the throw, threw the ball away into center field.
He had a tremendous jump, and there was no chance for Cannizzaro to throw him out. It was the 10th stolen base for Tommy Harper. He is now tied with Pinson for the club lead.
Last of the eighth inning, two outs, and now Tommy Harper, who was hit by a pitch, has romped around to third base. The batter is Pete Rose. So Frank Larry under the pressure now. No score, last of the eighth inning. Larry swings out of his windup. Here's the pitch on the way. A little bit inside. Two balls and no strikes. Let's have the infield and the outfield a little bit around toward right against Pete Rose. Rose hitting 297. Now Cannizzaro motions to Chuck Hiller to shorten up a little bit. Rose, a very fast man. Hiller was playing him back on the rim of the outfield grass. He's always a threat to try and drag a bunt. So Hiller shortens up against the threat of the drag bunt. Now Larry, out of his windup, delivers. Check swing grounder back to the mound. Larry has it. Throws to first. The side is out. And the little right-hander from Northport, Alabama, has the right answer under the pressure, and the side is out. All three of the hitters were fooled by Frank Larry. All three bounced back to the mound. In the eighth inning, no runs, no hits, one error, and one left. At the end of eight innings, the score, the New York Mets nothing, the Cincinnati Reds nothing. Now stand by. We'll be going to the ninth inning with Jim Maloney bidding for a no-hit ball game. Right here, we pause for station identification.
810 on your dial, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around. The voice of the Mets in the great Northeast.
Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner from Crosley Field. Jim Maloney, the flamethrower from Fresno, California, has walked one man. Struck out 13. Allowed no runs, no hits. We go to the ninth. Chris Cannizzaro, Frank Larry, and Billy Cowan will be hitting for New York. Those are the three scheduled hitters in the ninth inning. Larry Benarth is warming in the New York bullpen, and the event Casey wants to go to his bench. The breeze is blowing from left field across toward right. Right-hand batters pulling the ball toward the left field screen are hitting into the wind this evening. Only two balls have been hit reasonably hard. A line drive by Larry to Pinson. A low liner to shortstop played by Cardenas on one hop. One real good fielding play, that by Gordy Coleman on a ground smash hit by Chuck Hiller. Now Jesse Gander is around the bat rack, and Jesse, I believe, will come out to hit for Chris Cannizzaro. Jesse, a good fastball hitter, left-hand batter, will be coming up to hit against Jim Maloney. Maloney's very first start this year on the 19th of April against Milwaukee. He went to the eighth inning with a no-hit game. Dennis Menke spoiled the no-hit bid with a single, and the big right-hander wound up with a one-hit shutout. So now Jesse Gander is going to come out and hit for Chris Cannizzaro, and Maloney is really going to have to work for it as we go to the ninth. Maloney has been completely overpowering. Now Jesse Gander, batting at 269 on the year with three home runs, seven runs batted in. One of the three home runs Jesse has hit, he hit the last time the Mets were in Cincinnati. Here's the pitch on the way. Low and inside on the breaking ball. Frank Larry is due to hit next. Larry Benath is warming in the bullpen. And the breaking ball is over at the knees for a call strike. One of the three home runs Jesse has this year, he hit off Sammy Ellis here in Cincinnati the last time the Mets were in town. Maloney's 1-1 delivery, a high fly ball. It's playable to right field. Coming in is Frank Robinson. Frank is under it waiting. One man down in the ninth. Now, skipper Casey Stengel has come out of the dugout and is talking with his pitcher, Frank Larry. One out and nobody on in the ninth. Ralph?
I would guess right here that Casey Stengel is talking with Frank Larry to ask him whether or not he feels strong enough to pitch in the bottom of the ninth inning. And, of course, it would be up to Larry in this spot to say, well, I don't know whether I can go or whether I can. If he says, I want to pitch the bottom half of the ninth, I'm sure he would leave him in because it's more important, of course, to keep this game going. And Frank has pitched a very good ball game himself.
One thing about Frank Larry, Frank is brutally honest. He is a team player, always has been. When he beat Philadelphia, he had the Phillies shut out going into the ninth inning. And when he tired and Casey came out to ask him, he said, there's no point in my trying to be a hero. The important thing is to try and win the ball game. And Casey made the pitching change, though Larry was working on a shutout in the ninth inning. And so Joe Christopher is going to bat for Frank Larry in a scoreless ball game in the ninth inning. And as Ralph says, obviously, Casey went to Frank and said, Frank, what do you think? Do you feel strong enough to continue? And Larry obviously must have said, there's no point in my trying to be a hero. I'm a veteran pitcher. I haven't worked long stretches that often. Go ahead and get a fresh pitcher in the game. One out and nobody on in the ninth inning as Joe Christopher bats for Frank Larry.
You know one thing, Bob? Jim Maloney's had a lot of time to think about the fact he's got a no-hit, no-run game going because there have been a lot of delays here in the top of the ninth inning. And if anyone thinks that that pitcher out there doesn't know he's got a no-hitter going, they are really mistaken.
I imagine if this no-hit effort and bid for the no-hitter is anything like the ones in recent years, Ralph, that he's probably even been talking about it in the dugout.
I'm sure of that. I know Jim Bunning was talking about his around the sixth inning. These pitchers are well aware of what goes on, especially with the scoreboard that has the hit signs on it.
Now the pitch to Joe Christopher, and the fastball is over. Strike one. Not only is he bidding for a no-hitter, but he's doing so in a stirring mound duel with Frank Larry. Right now, Christopher is hitting for Larry, one out of the ninth inning. Pitch thrown to Joe, swinging a miss, strike two. Joe Christopher wound up the year as a 300 hitter last season along with Ron Hunt. Mets have been hurt this year with the injury to Hunt that has kept him out, and Joe Christopher so far has not hit up the last year. Maloney with that big windup. Here's the two-strike pitch. Outside on a curve.
And the count, one ball, two strikes.
Jim Maloney has walked one man and has struck out 13. The Mets have had two men reach base. The 1-2 delivery, a swing and a miss. He struck him out. He threw the ball right by him. Maloney has struck out four of the last five hitters in the eighth and ninth innings. He now has 14. No score in the ball game. We're in the ninth inning. Two outs and nobody on. Billy Cowan is up. And the fastball is over. Strike one call. And Maloney, even though he winds up with a no-hit ball game here in the middle of the ninth inning, still does not have a no-hitter unless the Reds can score. Now here's the windup. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a miss on a curve. And the count, strike two on Billy Cowan. The Mets nothing and the Reds nothing. We're in the ninth inning. An amazing pitching duel between Frank Larry and Jim Maloney. Billy Cowan, 0-for-3, has been struck out twice. Here's the two-strike pitch. Low and outside, and Ralphie's really yanking down hard on that curveball.
He's giving it everything he has, and he's throwing some fastballs here in this inning that have been blazing fast. He's throwing some vicious curves. That one, he was just trying to go sidearm and cut across on the outside corner, and he went down too hard in it.
The last performer with a clean no-hitter for Cincinnati was Yul Blackwell, and Ralph hit against him a lot. Now the 1-2 pitch. A high foul ball wafted back upstairs and out of play. They have one thing in common, Ralph. They can both really throw hard.
No doubt about that. This is the best I've seen Maloney look in all the times he's pitched against the Mets. He's had everything going for him. His control has been just perfect.
One ball and two strikes. Maloney is into his windup. Now the pitch. Strike three called. A third on the outside corner. And Maloney has pitched no hit ball over the first nine innings. His 15th strikeout. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. The crowd standing and cheering for Big Jim Maloney, Cincinnati's ace right-hander who 2 years ago won 23 ball games and struck out 265 hitters along the way. Maloney, over the first nine innings, has allowed no runs, no hits, walked one man, and struck out 15. The Mets have had two base runners. Green Gould drew a walk in the second inning. Charlie Smith struck out but raced to first base when the ball could not be handled by Johnny Edwards in the fourth inning. He was promptly erased in a double play. And so, over the nine innings, the Mets have had two men reach. They've had one man left. We'll be going to the last of the ninth inning with a score. The New York Mets nothing and the Cincinnati Reds nothing. A new battery for New York as we go to the last of the ninth inning. Larry Benaroff is now pitching, and Jesse Gonder is behind the plate. And in all the excitement about the performance of Jim Maloney, don't overlook the pitching job turned in by Frank Larry. Frank, in eight innings, allowed no runs. He gave up five hits. They were five scattered singles. The Reds never at any time assembling more than one hit in any inning. Larry walked one. And Frank struck out three. In the ninth inning, Cincinnati will have the heart of the batting order coming up against Larry Benaroff. Beta Penson, Frank Robinson, and the National League's leading batter, Gordy Coleman.
Well, you can't pack much more into a ball game than this. Bottom half of the ninth inning, and Larry Benaroff now up to defend for the New York Mets. Frank Larry, as Bob told you, having a great game going for him. He gave up five hits, all singles, and they all came in five innings, scattered over the five innings of the pitching. Now here's Bob.
Beta Penson leading off, bottom half of the ninth, and it's outside, ball one. Beta in the game tonight has lined to second, single to right, bounced to second, one hit and three times up. Penson hitting at 319. Benaroff delivers. Good fastball in the inside corner. One ball, one strike. So Dick Sessler has the middle of his batting order hitting in the last of the ninth inning to score the Mets nothing and the Reds nothing. Robinson on deck and then Gordy Coleman. Now Larry has his sign from Gonder. Here's the pitch. A high fly ball hit deep to right field, but it's playable. Johnny Lewis is under it, waiting, and he makes the catch. One out in the last of the ninth inning.
Hey, Bob, it must be something to be sitting on the bench and knowing that if you could get a run in this inning, you'll go in the record books forever. And if you don't get a run this inning, your name won't be in there. So it's sort of a precarious position for Jim Maloney.
Unless the Reds can score, he has to go right back to the mound in the 10th inning. Frank Robinson, the cleanup batter, facing Benaroff. Here's the pitch to him, and it's over at the knees. Strike one called. A good sinking fastball by Larry. Robinson has bounced to the mound, flied to right, bounced to short, nothing for three. Robbie hitting a 295 on the year with 10 home runs, 39 RBIs. Now the off-speed pitch is outside. One ball, one strike. Jim Maloney is sitting in the dugout. having worked 9 innings, allowing no runs, no hits. He walked one and struck out 15. Foul ball back toward the crowd, no play. One ball and two strikes on Frank Robinson. Well, baseball Mondays are normally quiet days, but the headlines will be screaming on the pitching duel from Crosley Field tonight between Frank Larry and Jim Maloney. Mets have the infield fairly deep, playing toward the middle against Robinson, the outfield straight away. Breaking ball outside to count 2 balls and 2 strikes. The Cincinnati Reds have the Major League's top hitting ball club. They have a team batting average of .273. Lead the majors in runs scored and in home runs. The 2-2 delivery inside off the shoulder, 3-2.
Another thing that's a strong possibility when you get runners on base like Frank Robinson, for example, he's 3-2 right now. He can steal. They have good speed in the ball club.
Now Larry with a string out, 3-2. Sights in. Here's the payoff delivery. Too high, ball 4. Robinson has drawn a walk with one out in the last of the ninth. Twice in the game tonight, the Reds have been on the run against the Mets. Both times, Canizero has sensed the play, called a pitch out, and both times had the runner nailed. The first time, however, the ball popped out of McMillan's glove for an error, and the second time, the thief was kept out. Gordy Coleman, who leads the National League in batting, hitting .354 as the hitter against Larry Bonnard. Now Larry up in pitching position. Robinson takes a lead. A high pop-up that's playable in foul territory behind the plate. Gonder coming back. Jesse's under it. Makes the catch. Robinson tags but doesn't move. He holds at first base. Now there are two away in the last of the ninth inning. Batter coming up is Darren Johnson. Darren has hit 10 home runs, knocked 41 runs in. He leads the Cincinnati Ball Club in RBIs. Johnson hitting at .266.
Well, Bob, we better keep an eye on Frank Robinson because this is a running spot for him. They'd like to get that runner down to second base where he could score on a possible single.
Jesse Gonder is behind the plate. He took over after batting for Canizero. Here's the pitch on the way. Breaking ball, low and outside, ball one. Twice in the ball game with Chris behind the plate, and Chris has quite an arm. The Reds were on the run, and both times they were nailed. Stayed alive on the first occasion when the ball popped out of Mac's glove. So Eddie Cranepool is holding against Frank Robinson with two down in the bottom half of the ninth. Pitch by Bonnard. The ground ball to shortstop. McMillan comes up, throws to Hiller. It's a force play. At the end of 9 innings, a nothing-to-nothing ball game, and Jim Maloney, who pitched no-hit ball over 9, will now be going to the mound in the 10th inning. In the 9th inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on. So here are the 9 inning totals. For the New York Mets, no runs, no hits, 2 errors. For Cincinnati, no runs, 5 hits, and no errors. In the 10th inning, the Mets will have Chuck Hiller leading off. Say, are you one of those people who go to a German-American picnic and can't sing because you don't know the words? Then listen.
Wir kommen alle, alle, alle in den Himmel, weil wir so brav sind. La, la.
Wir kommen alle in den Himmel is a song that gets sung over and over at German parties and picnics until the singers raise a fearful thirst. Then they change their tune. Bier hair is the traditional German call for beer, and often it's Rheingold Extra Dry they call for. In fact, in New York City, where there are more Germans than in all of Heidelberg, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do German Americans like Rheingold? We don't know. But we must be doing something right.
Beer, 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 beer.
Now it's the 10th inning, no score. And as the Mets come up against Jim Maloney to follow the action, here's Ralph.
Jim Maloney working on the mound. We're in the top of the 10th, and Chuck Heller, the first batter. He takes a strike for strike one. Chuck has hit the ball well. Two times that he has been retired, he has been the closest man to a base hit for the Mets. And he takes a curveball as he shortens up to bunt. It's low for ball one. One ball and one strike. In the fourth inning, Chuck hit a hard smash to the shortstop, which was taken on one hop. Leo Cardenas made the play at first. In the seventh inning, Chuck hit one on the ground over toward the foul line. It looked like it was going through for a base hit, but Gordy Coleman made a great play on it to catch it. He then went to the bag to make the play unassisted. Now the pitch back is ball two. Two balls and one strike. Jim Maloney allowing no runs and no hits. Pitching to Chuck Hiller. We're in the top of the 10th. The pitch back is lying to right field. Deep going back on the incline is Frank Robinson. He is there and he makes the catch. So Jim Maloney getting some help from his right fielder Frank Robinson as they pick up the first out of the top of the 10th. Chuck now has hit the ball well in three of his four times up. That'll bring up Charlie Smith. Charlie has struck out twice. He also flied to right field. Four pitchers have had no-hit games in 10 or more innings, going back to 1884. Now the first pitch to Charlie Smith. It's high, ball one. Edward Kimber pitched 10 innings of no-hit ball. The game is called because of darkness, nothing to nothing. That was back in 1884. Now the 1-0 pitch, a curve in for strike one. Harry McIntyre for Brooklyn against Pittsburgh in 1906 pitched a no-hitter for 10 innings. It was won by Pittsburgh in the 13th inning, 1-0. Now the 1-1 pitch. It is a fastball at two, strike two, one ball and two strikes. George Wiltse, pitching for New York against Philadelphia, pitched a no-hit game for 10 innings, and it was won 1-0. That was back in 1908. Then in 1917, Frederick Tooney, pitching for Cincinnati, did it. Now a swing and a miss, strike three, and Charlie Smith goes down swinging. That is strikeout number 16 for Jim Maloney. The record for strikeouts in extra innings, 18, it's held by Warren Spahn, pitching on June 14th, 1952, in 15 innings. Now with two men out, the batter is Eddie Greenpool. And the first pitch to Ed is taken high and away. It's ball one. Greenpool has walked one of the two men to reach. The other reached on a strikeout. That was Charlie Smith, and the ball was a wild pitch. 1-0 delivery to Greenpool is a let-up curve, and it's too low for ball two. Two balls and no strikes. In the 1917 game, when Frederick Tooney, pitching the no-hitter for 10 innings. He was opposed by Vaughn of Chicago. He pitched the no-hitter in that game for nine. Now the pitch back is swung on. It's two balls and one strike. That game was finally won by Chicago by a score of 1-0. Make it, it was won by Cincinnati by a score of 1-0. So Jim Maloney about in a position to duplicate the job by a former Cincinnati ball player. Now the pitch back, it's inside, and it's ball three. Fastball moving Ed Greenpool away. The count now, three balls and one strike. Incidentally, Warren Spahn set that record for strikeouts in extra innings of 18 on the same day, June the 14th. And the pitch back is fouled back, and the count moves up to three balls and two strikes. 13 years ago. He incidentally lost that ball game. He was not the winning pitcher. So Jim Maloney in a similar situation, working now. Three balls, two strikes. Two away in the top of the 10th. The pitch back is in there. Ball, strike three. So Jim Maloney gets two more strikeouts. He now has a total of 17 in 10 innings to play. No runs, no hits, no errors. All the way through the 10 innings for the New York Mets. Offensive effort. And the score at the end of 9 1/2 innings, the Mets nothing, the Cincinnati Reds nothing. You know, it's very hard to sell sheet music in Jamaica. They make up songs whenever they need them, like this.
Having a party, eating rice and peas, dancing happily as you please. Charming lady with a very nice smile. Think I'll talk to her for a while.
Think I'll talk to her for a while.
When Jamaicans get together for a party, the beat is calypso and the songs are made up on the spot.
The party was hilarious as it could be, but in the morning there was news for me. The penny was a man's wedding tune on his pipe. The smiling lady is now my wife.
And when the singer finds his throat a little dry, something refreshing will be improvised. Probably Rheingold beer. In New York City, where there are more different kinds of people than in any other city in the world, more people drink Rheingold extra dry than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do Jamaicans like Rheingold? We don't know, but we must be doing something right.
Moving now to the bottom half of the 10th, a scoreless duel is certainly a ball game that will be talked about for years to come. Coming up for the Reds here in their half of the 10th inning, they've had five hits. All five hits have gone to them. Will be the catcher, Johnny Edwards. That Johnny has had one hit in three times up. He'll be followed by Leo Cardenas and then Jim Maloney. Edwards, a left-hand batter, and Larry Benaut on the mound. He comes in with a fastball for strike one. Larry came in the game as Frank Larry, the starting pitcher, was taken out for a pinch hitter when the Mets batted in the ninth inning. Larry, in the ball game, has given up no runs, no hits. He walked one and left him, and the pitch back is low. It's one ball and one strike. Bill McCool warming up in the bullpen for the Cincinnati Reds in case Jim Maloney is taken out for a pinch hitter. No score with no one out. We're in the bottom half of the 10th, and the pitch to the plate is swung on and fouled off. The count now moving to one ball and two strikes.
Ralph, if Jim Maloney's taken out for a pinch hit, I don't want to be around this crowd.
No, I would be very much disillusioned if I were sitting here watching Maloney in this record-type performance. One ball, two strikes. Maloney with a no-hit, no-run game in. The Reds have to score a run, though, before it can go in as a regular no-hit, no-run game. A pitch and fouled away again for the count at one and two. He's sitting on the bench knowing he has a no-hitter. And this is a rather unusual situation because seldom the no-hitters go into this sort of a situation. They're usually over when the team is out. In a situation with the home team batting in the bottom half of the inning, usually over in the top half of the ninth. A line drive. It's over the top of the head of Chuck Miller in the right field of base hit. So the lead batter is on here in the bottom half of the 10th. And it brings up Leo Cardenas. That is the first hit given up by Larry Benaut. He has pitched the five batters. And the sixth hit in the ball game for the Cincinnati Reds. Leo Cardenas has one hit and two times up. Single to center field in the fifth inning. Now the Mets are looking for the bunt. Cardenas batting at 268. Johnny Edwards at first base with a short lead. Mets have short enough. They're looking for the bunt. And the first pitch by Benaut. It is bunted out toward the front part of the plate. Picked up by Gonder. He can't go to second base. He goes to first for the out there. And on the sacrifice, Johnny Edwards moves down to second base. So that'll bring up the pitcher, Jim Maloney. And he has a chance to win his own no-hitter. A pinch runner, Chico Ruiz, going in to run at second base. A fast man, one of the passes in the leg. So I'm sure, Lindsay, that there haven't been many situations where a pitcher had a chance to win his own no-hit, no-run game.
Been very few of them, and we have all the drama of the night packed into this one now, and the Reds have gone to the pinch runner with Ruiz running at second now, and Maloney and in waiting, and again, here's Ralph.
So Jim Maloney, who is considered to be a good hitting pitcher. He was a shortstop in his high school days. He is 0 for 3, a left-hand batter. And Larry Benaut wheels around and runs Ruiz back towards second base. No one covering. It was all Benaut's play. One away with a winning run at second. Roy McMillan faking there. And the pitch to the plate is low and away. It's ball one. One ball and no strike. Maloney on the season has had five hits. In 27 times up. He has driven in one run so far this year in 25 games. Now Larry Bernard sets again. A look at second base. Here's the pitch. It is bounced out towards shortstop. Roy McMillan comes in, picks it up, throws to first base. Ruiz moving over to third base, holds there. Same rule comes running toward the mound. So a broken bat that has that going out, the heavy end of the bat going out to the mound, and an out picked up as Roy McMillan took the slowly hit ball and made the play at first. That gives the Mets their second out here in the bottom half of the 10th, and it brings up to the plate Tommy Harper. So Tommy Harper, who is 1-for-3 in this ballgame, batting now for the fourth official time. He was hit by a pitch in the eighth inning, got all the way to third base. After he strolled second, he went on to third on a bad throw by Cannizzaro, but he was left there when Pete Rose bounced back to the mound. Frank Leary on the mound at the time. Ruiz, a fast man at third base, and Larry Bernard certainly aware of that. Tommy Harper, incidentally, is a good bunter. So the Mets will have to guard against a possible bunt here. But two men away. And here's the first pitch to Harper. Hits it down to third. It's taken by Charlie Smith. He goes to first base with a throw in the dirt. It's dug out by Ed Crane Bull. The bat is retired. A low throw, a half-off throw, and Crane Bull came up with it to save the ball game and to keep it going to the top of the 11th. Well, you just can't have any more excitement than that, and it's certainly something. As we move to the top of the 11th, the situation is this. Jim Maloney has a no-hit, no-run game going through 10 full innings. He has struck out 17 batters. One more strikeout. He ties the National League record of strikeouts in an extra inning ball game of 18. The all-time record for strikeouts in a 9-inning ball game is 18, held by Bob Feller and Sandy Koufax. The extra inning record is held by Warren Spahn. He set it exactly 13 years ago today. The all-time major league record for strikeouts in an extra inning ballgame is 21, set by Tom Kinney pitching in a Washington-Baltimore game in 1962. That game, a night game that went 16 innings. So everything going here as we move to the top of the 11th inning. And right now, to carry you along in the play-by-play, Lindsey Nelson.
Thank you very much, Ralph. We have a catching change now, of course, since Johnny Edwards was removed for the pinch runner, Chico Ruiz. Don Pavletti comes in to do the catching for the Cincinnati Reds. As the Mets came into town today, they were reading the note column in the local newspaper pointing out that ball clubs have been running on Pavletti of late. And he is coming on now to catch in the 11th inning. Jim Maloney on the mound. And Jim Maloney is having a tremendous night. He has struck out 17 batters in the 10 innings played so far. He has a no-hitter through 10. And Johnny Lewis is up to lead off for the Mets here in the top half of the 11th inning. At third base, Darren Johnson moves in on the edge of the grass against the bunt possibility here now with Lewis, a man of good speed at the plate, a left-hand batter. Maloney winds and fires, and the pitch is high for a ball. He has had a blazing fastball tonight, and his control has been excellent. Maloney has walked only one batter in this entire ballgame. Again, he is into the windup, and here's the pitch. It is a fastball in there for a called strike. As Lewis questions the call, it was across the letters, and he rocked back to take it, and Mel Steiner, the umpire behind the plate, made the strike call. Jim Maloney working on an extra inning no-hitter. And here is the pitch, a breaking ball. It missed high, and it's two balls and one strike. And the crowd now questions the call on that one. Maloney struck out the side in the third inning, and he did it again in the eighth inning of this ballgame. Here is the 2-1 delivery to Lewis. Swung on, hit deep to center, way back. This one is going, and this one is gone against the top wall for a home run for Johnny Lewis. It went over the yellow line and against the top wall, which is home run, and it's the first hit against Maloney, who is standing on the mound with his hands on his hips, and the Mets have gone out in front by a score of 1-0 here in the top half of the 11th inning.
Well, Lindsay, that's certainly a sudden way to have a no-hit, no-run game go. It was a well-hit ball, a line drive that carried over the top of the wall, and as Johnny Lewis crossed home plate, he was getting some boos here from the fans who were hoping that Maloney could go all the way. Now the Mets have taken the lead 1-0, and the ball game has gone their way, and Jim Maloney will pitch to Ron Swoboda.
And here is his first pitch to the right-hand batter, and he's fired in for a called strike. Ron Swoboda grounded out and struck out twice in this ball game so far. The Mets leading by a score of 1-0. And the pitch is outside for a ball. It's 1-1 now. Nobody out for the Mets, batting in the top half of the 11th inning. Johnny Lewis with the home run that puts the Mets out in front. And here is a pitch low, and it bounds off the glove of Johnny Edwards. 2-1. And now here is the 2-1 delivery. And it's in there for a call strike. 2-2. Maloney with 17 strikeouts. He looks in to get a sign now from Don Pavletic. And here is the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed, and it is strikeout number 18 for Maloney, and that ties the National League record for strikeouts in an extra inning game. The record set 13 years ago today by Warren Spahn. That brings up Roy McMillan. Mack has struck out twice and flied out to center field in this ball game. Maloney dips into the windup, and the pitch is a breaking ball on the outside corner for a called strike. Billy McCool is warming up again now in the bullpen for the Cincinnati Reds. One man out, nobody on base for the Mets, batting in the top half of the 11th inning. Here's a pitch, and it's fired low for a ball. It's 1-1. The home run hit by Johnny Lewis was in center field, sailed over the head of Veda Benson, and across the yellow line, which tops the first wall. It hit the second wall and rebounded to the base out there. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and hit up the middle on the ground. It's going to go through for another base hit. And McMillan comes up with a second base hit off Maloney in this game. Returned by Veda Benson, and Roy McMillan holds it first with a ground single to center with one man out. And that brings up catcher and left-hand batter Jesse Gonder.
The Cincinnati Reds won a game last year in a very peculiar way. They won a game where they got no hits in the ball game, and it was one for Joe Nuxall. And the pitcher who pitched a no-hitter against them and lost was Ken Johnson, who was with Houston, and now is with the Milwaukee Braves.
All right, Gonder steps in with McMillan at first and one man out. The Mets leading 1-0, and here is the pitch, and it's low, and it's dug out by Pavletic. He keeps it in front of him as he dropped it after digging it out, and it's 1-0. Bobby Klaus and Jim Hickman are throwing in the Met bullpen area. Possible defensive replacements in the bottom half of the 11th inning here at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Maloney has 18 strikeouts and one walk. McMillan leads it first. And here's the 1-0 pitch to Gondry. Here's a swing and a ground ball to short. Could be for two. Cardenas touches the bag. Throws to first, a double play. So Jesse Gondry grounds into a double play. Cardenas across to Gordon Coleman at first. The side is retired. But in the top of the 11th, the Mets got a run on two hits. No errors and none left. The score at the end of 10.5 is the Mets 1 and the Reds nothing. Now it's time for another unusual fact from the Viceroy Hall of Records. Here's what happened 1/4 of July when the weather provided the fireworks. It was back in 1933 in Gallup, New Mexico. A game was held up because it was just too hot to play ball. And then 2 hours later, the same game was called off completely. Hot weather? No, sir. A snowstorm. Let's get away from the weather now and find out whether you've tried Viceroy. Because when you do try them, you've just got to like them. You see, Viceroy is specifically designed to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, like some brands that taste as if they didn't have a filter, and not too light, like others. You know the kind. They just don't seem to satisfy your taste. But Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the filter for the taste that's right.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Not too strong and not too light. The taste that's right.
We're going now to the bottom half of the 11th. Jim Hickman is in left field in place of Svoboda for the Mets. Bobby Klaus is at second in place of Chuck Hiller.
When Jim Maloney walked off the mound, he got a great hand from the fans here for his pitching performance. But he walked off very dejectedly. He had his head down as he walked into the glove, into the dugout, and tossed his glove in the head. This is a strange ball game because Maloney could have got in the record books
When a ground ball was hit down to third, a runner at third base in the bottom half of the tenth, the throw to first base was low in the dirt, and Ed Cranepool came up with it. If the throw had not been held on to, the Reds would have won it. But right now, we're in the top of the bottom half of the 11th inning with the Mets in front 1-0, and now they'll have to defend and see if they can come up with a win.
All right, Ralph, it's Larry Benarth on the mound for the New York Mets, and it is switch-hitting Pete Rose up to lead off. He is batting left, of course, against the right-hand pitcher. Benarth looks for a sign from Jesse Gonder, has it, deals a pitch, and it is in there for a called strike. Charlie Smith in on the edge of the grass at third to defend against the bunt possibility of Pete Rose up there. He also likes to drag the ball on occasion. He is nothing for three and a walk in the game. Here's the pitch, and it's in for a called strike, too, as Benarth brought the fastball in at the knees. The Mets are leading by a score of 1-0, and we're in the bottom half of the 11th inning at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mets have the defense swung around slightly toward right field against Pete Rose, and the pitch swung on, hit in the air to left. And going over is Jim Hickman. He's over near the line. He's underneath and waiting, and he makes the catch for the out. So Pete Rose flies out to Hickman. There's one away in the bottom half of the 11th inning. And that will bring up Beta Pinson to be followed by Frank Robinson, the big guns of the Cincinnati attack coming up here in the bottom of the 11th. Pinson is a left-hand batter. He lined into a double play in the first inning. Had a base hit, a ground single to right in the fourth. Grounded out second to first in the sixth. And flat out to right field in the ninth inning. He was the first man that Benarth faced when he came on to pitch the ninth inning. Frank Larry pitched fine baseball for eight innings here tonight. That pitch is low for a ball. Larry was removed for a pinch hitter after he had pitched eight innings in which he allowed no runs and only five hits. Larry struck out three and he walked one. A count of one ball and no strikes to Veda Pinson, swinging the bat at the plate. And Benarth is into the windup, and here is the pitch. It misses high and away. So Benarth goes behind to Veda Pinson. Two balls and no strikes. Benarth walked Frank Robinson in the ninth inning. Larry takes a moment now, rubbing up the baseball. Turns around to toe the rubber and looking for a sign from Jesse Gonder. This will be a 2-0 delivery, and it's on the way. It's in there for a called strike, and Beta Pinson was taking. It's 2-1. The Mets lead by a score of 1-0 on a home run by Johnny Lewis in the top half of the 11th inning. And here is the 2-1 delivery. Missed outside, so now Benarth goes behind. Three balls and one strike to Pinson with Frank Robinson on deck. The ball hit by Johnny Lewis was very similar to the one hit by Ron Swoboda here in the first inning of a game, the last time the Mets were in town, which went for a single on a disputed call. Benarth looks in, now backs off the rubber and rubs up the baseball for a moment. Pinson, still in the batter's box, relaxed there for a moment, now turns to swing the bat. Benarth toes the rubber and looks in. This is a 3-1 pitch. Swung out and missed. It's a full count of 3-2. One man out and nobody on base for the Cincinnati Reds, batting in the bottom half of the 11th inning. It's been a thriller all the way here tonight. First game of a three-game set between the Mets and the Cincinnati Reds. Again, Benarth looks to Jesse Gonder, has the sign. This is the payoff pitch. And it's in there for a call, strike three. Pinson moved back. He's arguing the call. The Mets passing the ball around the infield. It is a strikeout for Benarth, his first in the game. Pinson still arguing the call with plate umpire Mel Steiner. He's still there, and they're face-to-face now. Frank Robinson ambling slowly up to the plate. And now Veda Pinson takes a couple of steps away and goes strolling back, turns to say something back over his shoulder, and he goes to the dugout. There are two men out with the Reds batting in the bottom half of the 11th inning, and Frank Robinson is coming up. That was a big, big strikeout on a 3-2 pitch by Larry Benarth. Robinson is grounded out, flied out, grounded out and walked so far. He's a right-hand batter and used the pitch swung on and laced the second off the glove of Klaus and out into short center field. Being charged now by center fielder Cowan, Klaus recovers, holding it first is Frank Robinson. It was a mean line drive to the right of Klaus. He stabbed for it with a backhand stab and had the ball in the webbing of the glove momentarily and it went on out into center field.
Well, the ball game was right there, Lindsay, in the hands of Bobby Klaus, but the ball was hit so hard that he couldn't hold on to it. So the Mets now go one more batter, and it's a big one that they'll be pitching to. Gordy Coleman, he leads the National League in batting. A fast runner at first base, Frank Robinson, so here we go again.
And the Mets are holding all sorts of strategy conferences. Jesse Gander has been to the mound. Roy McMillan's coming over to the mound. Ed Cranepool is coming over to the mound. Gordon Coleman, the leading batter in the National League, is up here now. He is 1-for-4 in this ballgame tonight. His batting average is .351. He's had 6 home runs and 27 runs batted in. The Mets are leading 1-0. The Reds batting in the bottom half of the 11th inning with a runner at first and 2 men out. Coleman is a left-hand batter. Robinson leads. The pitch is swung out and missed, and Gander throws to first. Robinson's back safely. Cranepool took the throw, made the tag, but Robbie's on the bag. So it is strike one to Gordon Coleman at the plate. Larry Bonnard working now in relief of Frank Larry. Bonnard, of course, is pitcher of record in this ballgame for the New York Mets. Jim Betsky up and throwing in the bullpen for the Mets now. As Bonnard has the sign, he's working off the stretch. He's up and set. And here's the pitch. Get on the ground to short. Taken by McMillan. He goes to first. The game is over, and the New York Mets have won it. The Mets win 1-0 in 11 innings here, and they break their losing streak at 10 straight. The Mets taking the first game of this series from the Cincinnati Reds. It was a great night for Jim Maloney as he pitched no-hit baseball for 10 innings. But then in the top of the 11th, Johnny Lewis led off with a home run to center field. Bonnard is the winning pitcher of this game as he came on after Frank Larry pitched the first 8. And the New York Mets have won it by a score of 1-0. And to tell you exactly how they did it, here is Ralph Kiner.
Well, Lindsay, I guess you got to say they did it with mirrors, because Jim Maloney looked like he couldn't be beaten at all. He was a strong pitcher. He pitched a no-hit, no-run game through the ball game, through the 9th inning, through the 10th inning. And then in the 11th inning, Johnny Lewis came up and hit a fastball over the center field fence against the back wall there to give the Mets their first run and first hit. Later on, Roy McMillan came up with a base hit through the middle to give the Mets their second hit in the game. All through the early part of the ballgame, good pitching by both sides. Frank Larry, the starting pitcher for the Mets. Frank went through 8 innings, gave up no runs, allowed 5 hits. He scattered them. Reds getting a hit in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th innings, and also picking up one more in the 8th for the 6th hit. But then Larry Bonnard was called on in the 9th inning to pitch to the Cincinnati Reds. In the 9th inning, a thrilling inning, Jim Maloney had gotten the Mets out. He was sitting on the bench with a no-hit, no-run game if the Reds could score a run. Bonnard been pitching to his first man, Vera Pinson, got him to fly out to deep right field. After that, he walked Frank Robinson to put the winning run at first base. He then got Gordy Coleman to foul out, and that gave him his second out. And then Darren Johnson hit into a forced play as he grounded out to the shortstop, and the 9th inning was over. In the 10th inning, it looked like the Reds might win it. They came up in the 10th against Larry Bonnard, and the first hitter was Johnny Edwards. He singled to right field. He was sacrificed down to second base by Leo Cardenas. That put the winning run at second base. Then they put in Chico Ruiz to be a runner at second base. He's a very fast man. The next man up was Jim Maloney with a chance to win his own no-hit, no-run game. But Jim grounded out the short. On the play, Ruiz moved over to third base. 2 men away. The winning run 90 feet away, and the ball game right there when Tommy Harper came up. He grounded a routine ground ball down to Charlie Smith. Charlie had it easily. Lobbed the throw to first base. The ball was in the dirt, but Eddie Cranepool held on to it, and that made the game go into the 11th inning when the Mets picked up their home run by Johnny Lewis to win it by a score of 1-0. The Mets now have broken their 10-game losing streak. This shutout here tonight, the mine shutout by Frank Larry and Larry Bonnard, their first in 1965 and the first one in Mets history. So they made the record books once again as they got a combined shutout for their first combined shutout in their very short history. Winning pitcher Larry Bonnard, his record now 2-1. Losing pitcher Jim Maloney, his record now 5-3. And for Jim, a heartbreaker, but for the Mets, a great win. Maloney in the ballgame tied a National League record for strikeouts in an extra-inning ballgame. He tied Warren Spahn's record of 18 strikeouts in an extra-inning ballgame. Warren striking out the 18 just exactly 13 years ago today. So the final score of the ballgame is 5,989. Watched it. The Mets 1 run, 2 hits, 2 errors, and left 2 on. The Reds no runs, 7 hits, no errors, and they left 8 men on base.
Strangely enough, Raph, when Warren Spahn struck out the 18 to set the record in the National League, he lost the ballgame. Jim Maloney tied it tonight, and he lost the ballgame. Final score, the New York Mets 1 and the Cincinnati Reds nothing. This game was brought to you by Rheingold, New York City's largest selling beer. And what a remarkable thing that is. In New York, a city of so many different tastes, one beer has become the favorite. Rheingold Extra Dry. We don't know why so many people like our beer, but we must be doing something right, and we'll keep right on doing it. Today's game was also brought to you by Viceroy. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the filter for the taste that's right. And by the Shell Oil Company. makers of Super Shell, the gasoline for good mileage. Stop at the clean white pump for Super Shell.
In old baseball land, there are no fans so grand as our Mets fans. When we play other teams, no one blood-curdling screams, that's our Mets fans.
But when Mets fans shout, go!
What they mean, we all know. We've got no place to go but up